I want to just try, if we can, to continue to center our thoughts on the person of the Lord Jesus as we endeavoured a little this morning to do so, looking, as we remember, most of us are here this morning, on the priority of the person of the Lord Jesus as man down here, fulfilling the role perfectly of man that God intended man to live on this little planet to his pleasure. And the only one who's done it to perfection is the humanity of the Lord Jesus. I do always those things, not sometimes, please. I do always those things that please him. That's my Father. And so when we look at the example, as we did briefly this morning, a little on three of his steps, I want to swing the spotlight onto each of us this evening that we might know a little how, once again, not only how he lived to please the Father, we touched on that a little this morning, but this evening, if we can, before we go home, to gather a little as to how we can live out his life down here to his glory and to the blessing of others. Not by trying, but by trusting. There's a little poem, if I can remember it, I might get stuck in the middle of it. It's not very long, but it's not a, it was a verse that I learnt, I think, at school, at Sunday school, when I was a little chappie, and of course we sang some lovely words then. I didn't have a clue what it meant, but as it comes to mind, after years and years, the value of it sort of thrills my soul again. And there's a little chorus which goes like this. It is not faint, but fight. 'Tis not do right because I must, but right because it's right. You dare not trust yourself, or you will surely fall, but trust in him who died for you, and let him do it all. Good teaching. We didn't grasp and understand that, but we still need to, as we go on in our Christian life, to remember that what we have just been reminded of in these emblems is what he has done. For God first, please. We won't push ourselves in too soon. He died for God, that God might be fully satisfied for the ages of eternity, that sin has been dealt with once and for all, as we've been reminded, for all time and for all people. The chapter of sin is cancelled, paid in full by the death of the Lord Jesus. And so we've been remembering that this evening, for which pleases him, and it rejoices our souls to be lifted above our own situations and our own lives, to be gloriously entering by faith into his presence. Glorious. And so, having died for God, he died, of course, for mankind, of which we have graciously listened to his invitation, as I mentioned this morning. We heard the call, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not rest to the body, please. It goes on to say that that's rest to the soul. And while I'm mentioning this very quickly, may I just encourage our hearts and minds that we are made up of a double trinity. Wonderful how God has worked things out. The first trinity is body, soul and spirit. That's the way he put mankind together first of all. But in God's sight and in true values, it should be spirit, soul and body. So that's the first trinity that we are made up of, and it functions wonderfully when we're in normal health and strength. That's great. But there's another interesting little part we don't want to miss, and that is that our soul is another trinity. Don't hear too much about it. I hear a lot about people sometimes in the street. They meet a friend and they say, well, how are things going with you? Well, I'm trying to keep body and soul together, but they forget all about the spirit. And that's sad news, because a lot of people, of course, don't know anything about the spirit that lives within them. And it's dead to God until the Holy Spirit comes in and enlightens us with the glorious gospel message. But the soul is made up of the mind. That it starts up here, because it's the top of our head, and it sort of starts and works down in a remarkable way. But this is the little box inside there that's marvellously made, and its function is to control the whole body, of course. And if it doesn't, well, we have to go into an institute where other people have to control us, which is sad. But this mind up here is meant to control the body. And while we're talking about the mind, please let us remember a little verse that says let. And when you see let in the Bible, it really means our will. Very important. Well, we'll come on to that in a minute or two. But let this mind up here be in you, Christian, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, we ask the question immediately, what was in his mind? Well, in a nutshell, we had a little of it this morning, always to do my Father's will, because he sent me as a man. Not sent as God, please, we had that this morning. He was sent as a man, and man is intended, as I mentioned this morning, also to be a pleasure to God, as God looks down and sees him functioning as he should do. And so the Lord Jesus is the only one who pleased God all the time, because he never deviated from being the servant of his Father, as we looked at a little this morning, but we'll continue on. But the mind of the Lord Jesus was totally sold out to please his Father. He pleased not himself. And so, to apply that to ourselves, it ought to be that our mind wants to be as the Lord Jesus, his to 100% perfection, ours less, of course, because we were born with an old nature. He didn't have an old nature. He was born with a sinless nature because he was born of God. And the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God cannot, underline, cannot sin. And so the life of the Lord Jesus that lives within the Christian is that which pleases God and cannot sin. It's the old nature in here that unfortunately, as we all know so well, rises up and suddenly takes possession, even if it's in a word of anger or whatever it might be, it suddenly takes over, and that is sin. So whatsoever is not of faith is sin, says the Bible. Makes it so clear. Simple as that. Nothing halfway between the two at all. And it's a lovely thought. We just have mentioned this very quickly, if I may, while it comes to my mind. And that is a couple of acrostics for faith, because it helps to explain it. And here they are. F-A-I-T-H. Very easy to remember, because we've got five fingers on our hand. So it's pretty easy to remember. And for those who have never come to the Lord Jesus, have got to learn what it is to exercise faith which he promises to give when he sees a surrendered life, wanting to come to the Lord Jesus, wanting to go God's way. God gives the faith. So here's an acrostic for those who need the Lord Jesus. And it goes like this. Forsaking all, I take him. Did we get that? Forsaking all, I take him. No halfway house. The Lord Jesus, you see, he forsook all and he totally surrendered his life and his death to the Father. Held nothing back. And so to become a Christian, it's an unconditional surrender to the Lord Jesus if we're going to start the Christian life properly. And so that's an acrostic for exercising faith to become a Christian. Now the Bible also tells us that the just shall live by faith. Lovely verse. And the just are those who are justified, which means, as the word says, justified, never sinned at all. As we've been reminded this morning this evening in our worship, that we're made perfectly fit as the Lord Jesus, to be in his presence, all because of his glorious work for us, perfection. We didn't put a finger to it. And so justified, but we're justified by faith. And the lovely thing is, the just, it says, shall live by faith. And living is the life of the Lord Jesus. Not just existing, but living. Living his life. And here's one for you and me to encourage us now. So we live by faith. And this time it's for all, I trust him. Do we? We put a question mark about that, because we might say, well, that's a bit hot. I don't know whether I can quite make that. We'll see how we can make it, all right, in a few minutes, I hope, if we can. Which, as I've just already mentioned, not by trying, but by trusting, and trusting is faith. That's what we're talking about. So it's for all what? Well, all situations that God allows to come into your life. Sends them along sometimes, or allows them to come. Well, really, to see what we're going to do with them. To see whether we're going to battle on and say, Lord, there's a difficult situation here. Will you please help me to get through? And you know, he didn't come to help us, folks. I mean, it might sound a bit heretical, but he came to have us. Could we get this straight? Vast difference between helping and having. Helping is we do our bit to please him, and he does the rest, which is rubbish. We can't do anything to help him at all. Because of our old nature, we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and there's nothing in here that can possibly please him apart from Christ, apart from his life. And we need to help young Christians to get hold of this, folks, because there's an awful lot of trying and struggling and doing of all kinds of things and experiences and things that they think is pleasing God. But where's it come from? It comes from the old nature. the origin here. And if anything or any exercise which is supposed to be spiritual comes from the old nature, I'm sorry to have to tell you, it's rotten at the core and unacceptable to God. And that would wipe a lot of exercising of all kinds of things and situations today. It would wipe it out if people would grasp this. Here's a very important saying, and we want to always remember this, that unless the Lord Jesus is the origin of any spiritual activity, unless he is, it's worth nothing. And so what a lovely thing to grasp the proper sense of values, isn't it? Because the Lord Jesus said himself, as a man, he said, I can do nothing of myself but what I get from my Father. That's as a man. So God never intended, even the perfection of the humanity of the Lord Jesus, he never expected him to originate anything. And if he didn't expect the Lord Jesus to originate anything, and a servant doesn't do that, how much more should he make it understandable to us that we can't originate anything that pleases God? Never asked us to. So if there's anyone who's been trying a little harder and baffling along and sort of whipping yourself along and saying, well, I'm doing my best for Jesus and I really need his help, please forget that. And let's remember the debt that I mentioned this morning. Did I make it clear? Perhaps I didn't. There's a debt that every Christian, each one of us, should pay. But it's on a daily basis. Because the Word of God says, I die daily. In God's sight, finished. Of course, dead in Christ, gloriously, because we've been raised with him. But on our practical living down here, on a daily basis, we are to die daily to our old nature. And the only way to do that is to allow the living life of the Lord Jesus to live in and through us. And that's the Christian life. So those are the two little acrostics. And while we're on acrostics, may I leave one with you? You may know this one too, but it explains a little grace. Now we've been thinking and singing from our hearts of grace. It's a charming sound. But what is grace? Well, here it comes. Fortunately for us, it's G-R-A-C-E, another five letters which we can easily remember. And a little acrostic, a description of grace, is very beautiful, I must say. I don't know where it came from, but this is what I enjoyed and still enjoying, I hope. And it simply is this: God's riches at Christ's expense. Did we get it? Oh my, that's a lovely lot of teaching packed into that. God's riches, all the riches that God has invested in his Son, when we become a Christian, why the Bible calls us co-heirs with Christ. Well, if we're co-heirs with him, all that he has is ours. Now, we didn't know this when we became a Christian, a baby Christian, of course not. That's why we kept on asking and pleading with the Lord to help us. But as I said before, you can put that in the kindergarten. That's anemic milk and water. And he wants us to drop that and to get onto the solid meat of his word, which will feed us and we'll grow thereby. That's what the Bible tells. And so God's riches at what? Christ's expense. We've just been remembering his expense when he expended himself to the full at the cross and paid the wages of sin, which is death. And there's a glorious description of grace for us to enjoy now as we grow as a Christian, to learn to say thank you, not ask. Asking sounds very nice, religious and that sort of thing, but it's so feeble. The Lord says, I want you to learn to say thank you and grow up. That's why the Bible says, in everything give thanks. That means saying thank you. For this is the will of God. And if you're outside the will of God and ask him to help you, he says, well, get inside my will and say thanks. And that's faith. That's appropriating something of the riches I've just been talking about. So in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, never outside him, always wrapped up in the person of the Lord, giving thanks in everything. So this is the will of God in Christ is concerning who? You and me. And I want to be very practical for this little while, if you can just bear it, because I want us to apply now the spotlight on ourselves, the how of Christian living a little, to encourage our hearts. I need it, and I'm sure you do as well, in this poor, sin-sick world that's gone clean off the rails. And it'll stay that way until, in God's mercy, if they turn to the Lord one by one, God will save them. But until then, it's hopelessly going down the drain, as we all know, because they've left God out of the picture. And God is indispensable to a human being to function. We're not normally a human being at all without God living within and living through us. I know my wife doesn't like the phrase, but I don't very much. But you say, well, what are people that are living without God? Well, I have to call them monstrosities. But please don't tell them that if you're trying to win them to the Lord, because that's not very complimentary, but it's true. And they might as well know it. So the Lord is, wants us to function in a way that pleases Him. And there's only one way to function, and that is to let, L-E-T, that's our mind, our emotions, and our will, that's the second Trinity, to allow to function the life of the Lord Jesus through us on a daily basis, letting Him. Now that doesn't mean folding our arms and sitting back and doing nothing. Oh no, it means He'll do the doing, but He'll do it through us now. Did it once for us, once and for all, at the cross. Now He wants to do it on a daily basis through you and me and every Christian. Which means we need to be available to say, Lord, guide my thinking. Hundreds of times my wife and I in our various itinerant missionary work, so-called, around this little planet, we've had to say, Lord Jesus, now your program, please, today. I don't know quite what you want to do, I've got some idea, but will you guide my thinking? He doesn't send a telegram from heaven, or you don't get visions, He doesn't need to send visions, He's given us all He needs in Christ, and we're complete in Him through the Scriptures. And so He simply will guide our thinking if we ask Him. So that's the glorious way we want to live, every one of us, day by day. Now I'm sorry, we haven't even started yet, those are only preliminary remarks. We're a little bit in trouble, but however, if you'll forgive me, but we will get on now to having a look as quickly as possible at just following the three steps that the Lord Jesus took, and we were reminded this morning. I want to swing that onto us now, and if we can, we'll go first of all, please, to John chapter 8, the 8th chapter of John, to link on to what we had this morning. John chapter 8, and two verses for the sake of time, and that is 28 and 29. The 8th chapter of John, and verse 28 and 29, which says, Then said Jesus unto them, now it's all attention, you see, when He speaks. We want to watch this closely. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, watch this please, what's the title? Son of Man is number one man. He wasn't the son of any man. Don't get that mixed up. He was born of God, born of no man whatsoever. And so that's why He was born in perfection into this world through Mary as His mother. So, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, when was He lifted up? We've remembered Him just a few minutes ago. Lifted up on the cross was He to die, yes. And when you lifted up the Son of Man, watch what happens. That all came to pass. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am. The little word He is in italics, and I'm glad it is. I hope it's in yours the same, because you can just eliminate that and you'll get a little more illumination on the person. That when you've lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am. And the I am of the Lord Jesus is His ever-present deity, His origin, of who He is in His origin. The great I am. Before Abraham was, past tense, I am, present tense, continuous present tense. And how was He recognized as the am, the I am, when He was lifted on the cross? Well, do you remember the centurion? That God struck him in his heart and he said, truly, this was, watch it carefully, the Son of God, not the Son of Man. Wasn't just a wonderful man and a sacrificial man. No, no, Son of God. Isn't that great? That's when you'll know, he said, when I'm lifted up on the cross, who I really am in my origin. That's choice. So watch it carefully. But he doesn't stop there. That I am and, watch it carefully, I do nothing of or from myself. Nothing. As we mentioned this morning, we don't want to go over this again, otherwise we'll never get through. But he said, I want you to recognize, although my origin is in the Godhead, that all that I'm doing is not of my origin at all. So therefore, we see the logic of it all. Therefore, anything that we can try to do for the Lord Jesus, being the origin ourselves, is worth how much? As much as the Lord Jesus said that I can do, and that's nothing. So isn't it great to give up trying? What a restful attitude the Lord... And the Lord can send us away, as I said this morning, a different kind of a Christian. with the attitude of resting in the Lord Jesus and saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, you can. I'll mention that a little bit about the little book I've put together in a few minutes that I mentioned this morning. But what a restful attitude to know that nothing can come and tackle us and defeat us, because the Lord Jesus is the one who wants to cause us to live on top, please. And that's not by whipping ourselves along and trying a bit harder. Oh no, it's just being committed. So the Lord wants us to be the being in order that he can do the doing through us. Could we remember that? That stuck in my mind many, many years ago, and I thank God that it's applying to my own heart on a daily basis. That he wants us to be available to him so that he can do his work through us on a daily basis. Now that's the Christian life. Nothing complicated about it. So did we get it then? And I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath, look at this, taught me, I speak these things. Taught? I thought he knew everything. Yes, of course. As God, he did. But as man, he developed and was taught, not by any man, but by God, his Father, who sent him here as man. He was taught what to say and what to do. Well, that's glorious. That's verse 28. And 29, please. And he that sent me, there it comes again, the perfect servant, you see that? And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Always, please, that's 100% perfection. Only applies to the Lord Jesus. But I please him in every turn of the road. How did he please him? Well, simply allowing the Father's will and program and his actions day by day to be exactly what the Father wanted. Never deviated. Never sort of took a day off and had a bit of a sunbake down by the Sea of Galilee to please himself. Never. No. He always pleased the Father. Now there's a principle that we can enjoy, that we can only please the Father by allowing the program, and every one of us, there's a program for every Christian from the moment you became a Christian to the moment we go to glory, a program. All fixed. We don't know it. And only day by day will the Lord reveal it to us, but that's all he needs to do. And so what an encouragement to please God by allowing the blessed Lord Jesus to live his life through us on a daily basis. Great. However, well, that's just a link on with this morning. And now please, we'll just move quickly over to John chapter 20 for a moment. 20th chapter of John's Gospel. And see this lovely simile that we also mentioned one, I think, this morning. But in John's Gospel, chapter 20, and verse 21. Now we swing the spotlight, as briefly as we can, onto ourselves as a Christian and try to answer the how you and I are to enjoy living the Christian life. Great. So, John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, that word them relates to the previous verse, disciples, which in other words is you and me, we're every Christian. See, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, they're told. Well, if a disciple is a Christian is a disciple. And a disciple comes from the same word as discipline. Disciples. And we're all called to be disciples of his. So he's talking to us. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, here it comes. And by the way, I checked it up once. I heard a speaker, I thought it was a little exaggeration, but it wasn't. He said 32 or 33 times in just the Gospel of John alone will you find that phrase relating to the Lord Jesus. Sent by my Father. Sent by my Father. 32 or 33 times. It's a little exaggeration. But I never had the chance to apologize to him, but I wish I could find him and say, you were right. And I checked it up once. You try it one day on a wet afternoon when you can't mow the lawn or something and you're stuck indoors if it's raining or something. Get a piece of paper and a pencil and start in John 1 and just go through it. It didn't take too long. And every time you find the Lord Jesus saying, sent by my Father, just put a stroke down on your paper and then add them up. And that's what you'll find. 32 or 33 times he reiterates, don't forget please, I was sent by my Father. That's his servanthood. Well, here's one of them. But now he's swinging this now onto ourselves now. When he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so, look at this, send I you. I'm sending you. Who's he talking to? Well, we've just said to us. And you know, every Christian is a sent one. And when you just think of that for a minute, the word missionary comes from the Latin word mitio, I send, and everyone is called to be a missionary, every Christian. The Lord Jesus, number one missionary, sent from heaven to earth to fulfill the commission which was given to him and to finally lay down his life on the cross, and he fulfilled every bit of it when he said three words on the cross, "It is finished." Not "I am finished, please." He was just going to begin his work at the resurrection. That's not finished yet either. That's the church in the making, of which you and I are members. But "it, my Father's will laid down for me." "I've finished it, Father. Exactly everything that you've called me to do and to say, I've done it to perfection." No wonder the Father was pleased. Isn't that great? And so the last item on the program was giving his life, a ransom for many. And so God raised him the third day triumphantly to die no more. So, but he's now commissioning you and me. The Lord Jesus is turning the spotlight on you and me this evening. And I hope it's not tiring us too much and we're not chewing off more than we can bite, so to speak. But can we get it? The Lord says, look, the way my Father sent me, I'm now back in glory, not limiting himself to being a man, although it's the man in the glory. But he said, I'm sending you now, disciples of his. Where to? Well, leave the Lord to fix the geography. It might be just to stay right here where you are, but we're sent. What for? Well, to simply describe something of the life of the Lord Jesus, where you live and move and have your being, so that others can see the difference between you and a person who's not a Christian. And the difference is the personality of the Lord Jesus living in and through you and me. That's what makes the difference. Not trying to be different. No trying anything at all. It's just being different. You can't help it when the Lord Jesus is in charge, please. Not just in. Where is he sitting in charge? On the throne of our will. That's where he wants to be. That's the secret place there, the place of decisions, sitting there. And as I've often mentioned before, if the Lord Jesus is going to see us get the victory, he wants to be not only in, but in charge, in order that you and I, when he reigns in here, in order that you and I might reign out there in the world. And reigning is on top, please. And so there's no need for a defeated Christian. It's not humility, it's just mock humility to say that I can't, and it's quite right, you can't, but God can. And he's waiting to do it through us. If we'll L-E-T, let him. That's the secret. So that's encouraging, folks, that he takes full responsibility as we let him live his life in and through us. Great, isn't it? Well, let's hurry on. And so, in John 20:21, he passes the spotlight onto you and me, sent people. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now come over quickly, please, to 2 Corinthians, will you? Chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Keeping in mind the three steps we had this morning, if we can remember, that the Lord Jesus was the reflection of his Father. He gave his Father's words, not his own, and the works that he produced were his Father's works doing the work through him. Now, put the spotlight on you and me, and here's the reflection that you and I are intended to be. I know the Word of God is often looked at as like a mirror, but in this particular case, you and I are the mirror. We're the ones to do the reflecting. You look at it carefully. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, we all. So you can't get out of this and say, oh, it doesn't apply to me, I haven't got the gift. Oh no, you don't get out of it that way. This is not a gift, this is being. Every Christian being, not doing. And it's we all. So if we're not too sleepy, could we follow this carefully? We all, look at the conditions please, with open face. What does that mean? Well, it means nothing between us and the Lord. Now, I want us to visualize a mirror. We've all got a few of them, especially in the bathroom where we need them. And if we're blaming the mirror for the more wrinkles we got on our face than we had last year, well, so don't blame the mirror. It's only giving you back what you give it, that's all. So we can't blame that. But notice it's not jumping up and down on the wall. If it was, it wouldn't be much use. It's being a reflection, not doing anything. And so here it comes. And here's the condition. Keep the mirror clean. And here's our life living in a dirty world. But the Lord says you can keep it clean because the Word of God will be cleansed through the Word. If we not only read it but enjoy putting it into practice, it'll cleanse us. And we need it on a daily basis, don't we? Of course we do. but we all with open face. Now, beholding as in a glass is what I call a little fuzzy. But please don't give up an authorized version because of that phrase. It simply means beholding is an old English word for looking at, isn't it? Of course it is. As in a glass, that's not a drinking glass, by the way. This is a looking glass. And so the looking glass has those two functions. First of all, it's looking in some direction or another, and it's reflecting whatever it's looking at. Now here's a lovely thought, if you can just grasp this. The whole theme of the Bible, really, for the Christian, is wrapped up in three words. Looking unto Jesus. That's the main theme of the whole of the Word of God given to us. That our mirror now is focused on looking at Him. And if we're looking at Him, who's being reflected? Well, the life of the Lord Jesus, of course. And that's a lovely thought, when we are constant keeping our eye on Him. Not on things or on situations and experiences. No, no, don't get your eyes on those sort of things. It'll lead you hopelessly up the garden path. No, no, it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, he says. But here we are, all right? We all, with open faith, that's keeping the mirror clean, looking at, beholding, and reflecting like a mirror, that's looking as in a glass. Where's it looking? Well, here it comes, the glory of the Lord. The perfection of the Lord, when our mirror, our life, is looking unto Him, and we see His perfection. Well, what happens? Well, we're looking at the glory of the Lord, we're changed. Of course, there's the change that takes place. And this is where the difference, we're not splitting hairs, but this is the difference between being born again and being converted. And you see, a lot of dear Christians are on their way to heaven, but they're not converted. Pathetic, isn't it? They're what you call a liability to the business. And that's instead of being an asset. Because the Lord Jesus simply says that he said, I want you not only to be born spiritually, be made fit for heaven by His death that we've just remembered, but He said, I want you to be fit for earth by the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus living in and through you. Fit for earth. And that's why we're being changed in a process of growth from day to day, showing a little more of the lovely character of the Lord Jesus on a daily basis, because that's how we're growing in our Christian life. And that's what the Lord wants through us. That's what we're here for. Otherwise, we might as well go home to glory and not fill up the universe, make room for others. No. We're here with a specific purpose of looking unto Him, reflecting His glory. We're changed from, look at it, says, what does it say? Well, we're changed into the same image, from glory to glory. That means a progression of glory, a progression in our Christian life of showing more of the character of the Lord now than we did last year. Or yesterday, perhaps. And so what a lovely thought it is that this will take its place, not by our trying to be a bit more like Him. That's Steve, as I've mentioned so many times before. It's letting Him shine His glory into our mirror, and we reflect that in our daily living. We're being changed from one degree of glory to another. How's it come about? As by, look at this, the Spirit, the capital S. That's what He's in here for. That He constantly points us to Christ through the Word of God and enables the life of the Lord Jesus to be seen in a clearer, better perspective as we grow from day to day. As by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, that's the one step of reflecting the character of the Lord Jesus. Now we'll get through very quickly if we can. Would you come over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, for a moment? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Because the second step we had this morning were the words that the Lord Jesus gave. Now He's simply saying to you and me, what's the step that we are to take in our Christian life? And it simply is this, in a nutshell, read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, and it's three words, and it's preach the word. Now, this can be split up very quickly. Preaching is in a double aspect. It's by our living and showing something of the life of the Lord Jesus by our living, and then by our opening our mouth as He gives us opportunity to speak of Him. So to preach is to live the life of the Lord Jesus through, and to be able to speak of Him when opportunity shows itself, obviously, to you. The little opportunity we had, no sooner had we left Perth on the plane, we were flying at about 35,000 feet, 2 months ago, and I'd been asking the Lord, I said, Lord, it would be interesting if there was someone sitting next to us that we could chat about the Lord too. Well, it didn't come quite that way. It came, better still in one sense, from an air hostess. Because when I went down to the comfort room down there and was coming away, I just happened to glance up and here's an air hostess doing nothing. And they're pretty busy on the plane as a rule, she's doing nothing. So I said, well, thank you, Lord, she's caught this time. So I had a little ammunition on me, which I haven't got now, but I did have then, fortunately. And I said, excuse me, I said, you're not busy at the moment, are you? Well, she had to say, no. No, I'm not busy just now. I said, you are a busy person. You bring us some lovely meals and so on. But I just wondered, I had something in my pocket I'd like to give you. Would you accept it? And she said, it depends what it is. I said, yes, of course it does. And I thought, now I should get, going to catch it now. So I said, well, this is about the Christian faith. And I had a little opportunity. And for about 10 minutes, she wasn't called on to do anything. I was just able to talk about the joy of the Christian life. Not religion at all. Not churchianity. Christianity. Christ in action. And you know what she said? A remarkable thing when I gave it to her. She said, I'll put it next to my heart. So that gave me a nice opportunity. I said, oh, that's fine. I said, that's good. You won't lose it there. But I said, this is something to do with getting into your heart. She looked at me, thought, I'd never heard that before. I said, oh yes, when you read this, this is the Lord Jesus who wants to come in. I said, thank you very much for accepting this. Might see you again. And tomorrow morning, she may be on the same plane. I don't know. We're flying out. 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll be there. We'll look out to see if she's there. Might be, may not be. I don't need to be anyway. The Lord can take over the business. All I've been is just a mouthpiece, just a channel to pass something on. Now, we can all do that, folks. Don't have to go up 35,000 feet up there to do it. No, no. Might be down to shopping or something like that, and you're chatting with someone. If you've got some ammunition in your pocket, give them something. Might never see them again, but that doesn't matter. You don't have to. It's God's business. We're just a mouthpiece, just a channel. That's all. And so there, so the first one is we're to bear the reflection. Here, we're to preach the word. Not a word, please. The, which is the definite article, and the word is twofold. It's preaching the divine scriptures from cover to cover, and it's preaching the content, the centre of the scriptures, which is Christ. So preaching is twofold, and the word is twofold. And that's simply, we're passing on, that's all, just parsons. The chap asked me once, he said, are you a parson? I said, yes, 5 times over. Oh, he said, you've been to 5 Bible schools? No, I said, I haven't been to 5 Bible schools. But I said, I just have the job of passing on the message, as long as I'm able to, and then when I can't do it anymore, I pass on to the next town. And so it sunk in after his little thick-headed realised that there was something in the Christian life after all. And so we're all pass-ons, folks. You don't have to wear a collar back to front or anything like that. We just live the life of the Lord Jesus, that's all. So that's preaching the word. Now finally, you've been very patient, finally now is the works that are to be produced through us. We'll read it, please, in Philippians 2 and verses 12 and 13. And this is the last verse. You can take a sigh of relief now that we won't be going any further. The Philippians 2, 12 and 13, so well known. But what does it say? Well, Philippians 2, 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as dear Christians, as you have always obeyed, that's a good testimony, not as in my presence only. You see, here the Apostle Paul has been to Philippi, and he's been like a parson, but he soon throws that off. But you see, he'd been there, they'd been hanging on every word that he'd been giving them. Now he says, look, I'm moving on, and I don't want you to be looking to me, because I've just been giving you what you already have, the scriptures. Now, he says, you not to obey much more when I'm not around. Isn't that lovely? That's the way to throw off, you know, barnacles. A lot of Christians, especially speakers, get barnacles stuck on, and people run around from one meeting to another just to listen to him again. They've heard it umpteen times, but they want to go again. But if you want to get rid of them, you just want to say to them, look here, you don't need me. I've been to places sometimes when I've been trying to help them a little bit, and some brother will come up at the last meeting, I hope you won't tonight, and say, I wish you'd hang around for a month or two and stop with us. My heart goes into my boots. I think, goodness me, hasn't it gone any further than here? You need me hanging around? Of course not. don't need people. We have the Word of God, you have the Lord Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit to make His Word real, and we can go on growing. So we don't hang on people, what they've got to say. That's only an entertainment. And so the Apostle Paul's simply saying that. He said, you've obeyed while I've been around, but I'm off. in my presence now, that's all very well. But he said, in my absence now, much more in my absence, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for, please, you work out what's already worked in. The person of the Lord Jesus, with great care. Because the devil twists it, you see, in your mind, and they say, well, you know, roll your sleeves up and get stuck in and work for Jesus a bit harder, and that'll please him. Doesn't do that at all. So don't get it mixed. It's working out what he works in, the life of the Lord Jesus. So, we finish with this. For it is God, here it comes, verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will, notice his will, where from? Sitting on the throne of our will. And that he takes charge. Great, isn't it? That's his will, and also, look at this, to do his performance. Not for us, but through us. Simple as that. To do his will, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, or what pleases him. And what pleases him more than anything else is to allow his will, that's been destined before we were born into this world, a program, to allow it to be fulfilled on a daily basis. We don't know it, but he does. And he's the only one who does. And if he knows, and we say, Lord, your will today, I don't know what you want to do with me, but I'm available, Lord, that's all. You see, he wants our availability, folks, to allow his ability to work through us. That's all. So we'll close with a word of prayer in a moment. But if anyone didn't quite get it clear, there's one or two things I forgot to mention here. And that is that the little book comprises a chorus. And I do appreciate the gift that God's given you folks for music here. I was listening to a lovely harmony some of you folks were singing tonight. Great. Now, my father put together a whole book of hymns. I won't bother to talk about that. Now, we'll never get through. But in his lifetime, over 50 years ago, my father composed a whole book of hymns. Words and music, all his own. Harmony, rhyme, words. And the only thing he didn't do, he didn't know how to time it up because he never learnt music. But he got some clever Christian ATCL, Associate Trinity College London people, to time up his hymns. And that was fine. But he's been gone to glory about 40 years ago. But this is one chorus that he composed, and it wasn't in the book. So I thought, I'll take this, I'll ask his permission when I get to glory. It'll be a bit late then, but I don't think he'll mind. But I put this in my book, and you can use it. I'll give you permission to put it up on the overhead if you like, and have a go at it. But please, watch it carefully before you sing it. It's pretty challenging. It's only four lines to it, and it says this. It's called Bundaberg, strangely enough. He was in Bundaberg, Queensland, when he composed it. So he had to call it something. So that was what it was called. But this is how the words go. Live in me, Lord, thy life divine. Through all my being, Saviour, shine. Thy risen power, let it hold sway, that's control. Possess me wholly from today. Those are choice words. And if you're asking the Lord to possess you wholly from today, he said, that's what I died for. That's what I want, he said. Availability to me. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.